your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 23. And there's just so much in these verses, these first two chapters, really the whole book. And sometimes I feel like I don't do justice and trying to get it out to you. It's some of my favorite scriptures, and I've enjoyed it so much. Hope you do. I'm going to do something a little different right now, so I want you to help me out. I'm going to point to you, and when I point to you, I want you to come to the front and share why God would let you into heaven when you die. Y'all look scared to death. I remember going to a revival one time, and I'm not going to do that, but you got scared, didn't you? You got scared. How many of you were a little bit uptight? Okay. I remember being, I think it was in Longview, Texas, at a revival, and I was sitting about where Ashton was on the front row, and the evangelist said, "Hey, I'm going to have you come up here, and I'm going to have you share why God would let you into heaven." Now, I had been a Christian for several years, but I was terrified that I might give the wrong answer, or maybe I wasn't sure of what the answer was, even though I thought it was. And I was terrified, but when you think about that question, why would Jesus let you into heaven? What would your answer be? For some people, they think, well, I'm a pretty good person. And y'all, that is the dumbest answer. You're not good people. I mean, anybody thinks they're pretty, well, I do pretty good. No, you don't. How many times you break the law a week just with your speedometer? Confession time. Just last week, I was coming back from Hot Springs. I'm embarrassed to say this, but since it's probably all over town anyway, I was in Montgomery County, and my offense, I didn't even tell my wife this. You're a little terrified, aren't you? I would be. I got pulled over because someone or some group of people had called in I was driving reckless. And it was, of course, a sheriff. And, you know, of course he knew who I was. Not a deputy, not a sheriff. But anyway, and he looked at me. Of course, I'm thinking, who called me in? I'm ready to kill him, you know. I will admit to you, when I'm by myself, the thought of dying doesn't come across my mind as much as when Julie's in the car or Liam's in the car. And then he looked at me and he said, "Were you texting?" Because evidently I was all over the road. I don't know. And you know, had he asked me 30 minutes earlier, that might have been yes. But you know what I was doing? Oh, y'all do want to know, don't you? You really want to know. She's mad. I'm in trouble. I was listening to a sermon. I knew exactly, and I held him. I gave him the phone, and David Youth at First Baptist Orlando, I was listening to a sermon. I get kind of wound up. I'm driving down the road, you know, and I guess the person in front of me was going slow, and I just wasn't paying attention. And so I confessed to him, I said, "I was listening to a sermon." And I'm sure he wanted to say, "Can you not listen and drive straight?" And I mean, I said, "I'm so embarrassed," which I am, to even tell you that. But since it's probably all over the county, I was not drinking. I was not under the influence of a substance. I was not texting. I was not even talking on the phone. I was listening to a Southern Baptist pastor. And he was preaching a good sermon. Maybe I was getting, you know, excited. What does that have to do with my sermon? Nothing. That was added in. Maybe it's just confession. But anyway, this whole thing about how you live the deeper Christian life, or how do you become a Christian, is very confused in our culture today. Because a lot of times people think it's Jesus plus something that saves me. But if you noticed in your outline, the message this morning, it's Jesus plus nothing. I mean, there is absolutely nothing that you can add to Jesus that would make you a Christian. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus church membership. The thing that Paul wanted the people of Colossae to know is it's Jesus plus nothing. There is absolutely nothing you can do to be good enough to get into heaven. There is nothing you... How do you live the deeper life? Is it a course or... No, it's Jesus, period. It's not a book. It's not a conference. It's just a relationship that is living and active with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the key. And the problem Paul was dealing with the church in Colossae, is that there were these false teachers coming in the area, and they were preaching this Gnostic. It wasn't totally Gnostic at the time. It was headed that way. And they were kind of saying, it's Jesus plus Old Testament laws. It's Jesus plus circumcision. It's Jesus plus... And they were adding all of these things. And what was concerning to Paul is that these people were going to think that it's something other than Jesus that saves you or gives you that deeper life. And people are looking for that. So it's Jesus plus nothing. Baptism won't help. I wish it would. I'd wash all of us again. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves you from your sin. It's Jesus who's going to save you from your future sin. It's just Him. But there's always those teachers that get in there and they try to get into your head. And let's talk about them, because there's three main teachings that were false that were getting into the head of those Christians. They're all isms. This is in the outline, but there's legalism, there's mysticism, and there's asceticism. You like that, don't you? Big words for the day. What are they? Well, let's begin. The first thing you need to do is you need to get rid of legalism. Verse 16 says, therefore, you got to understand, anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask the question, what just was before that? Because therefore is there because of what was just said. And if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood out against us and condemned us, and He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them by the cross. What Paul is saying, because you are forgiven, because you are debt free, because you have been given victory over the demonic world, therefore, because of that, you're free. You're not a slave to sin. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival and a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. In other words, Paul is saying, don't let people judge you and try to get you into that trap of legalism. Legalism is us trying to earn God's favor. Legalism is rule obeying. Legalism is making up rules so you can feel closer to God. Legalism is one of the things that Jesus died to set us free from. Because as Americans, somehow we think that if we keep the rules, if we do good things, if we are if we're obedient, that God loves us more. Here's the truth. If you have Jesus, He can't love you more. And He can't love you less. Because it's all dependent on what He did for you, not what you did for Him. And Paul is saying, don't give up your freedom. Don't get back into legalism. Because legalism adds rules to Jesus. Now, lest you think we don't do that today, that's not true. I grew up with the rule, I'm Baptist, and if you heard this rule, raise your hand, Baptists don't dance. Why not? This is stupid. David danced. He danced naked, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he? Lynn knows. Now, I'm not suggesting we're going to start dancing naked. I can assure you that. But somehow I grew up in, you're a high school kid and I love Jesus. You can't go to a dance? No. It might corrupt you. I was already corrupt. I didn't need a dance to corrupt me. Who came up with the rule you had to wear a suit to church? Oh, now I'm getting into trouble. Now I'm getting into trouble. Where is that in the Bible? What if somebody gets in your car? What if I don't get invited to a lot of houses. People are afraid I'm going to come in and take a list of what all I see rules you've broken. What if I get in your car and it's not on K-Love? You're listening to secular music. Because Christians don't listen to secular. Where in the Bible does it say that? Now, you're supposed to listen to wholesome music. And we all stray. Or you had that secret TV show that you love but you don't want anybody to know about. It's Jesus plus the right TV channel. I remember they said you're not supposed to play cards because those people on the cards were alive or something like that. When I went to Horatio, I had a guy come in and ask me, could he sell his dog? And I'm like, what in the crud are you talking about? He says, yeah, there's this Old Testament verse about you can't bring the price of a dog into God's house. And it had something to do with prostitutes that were called dogs and you weren't supposed to bring, I don't know. It's just like, you're kidding me. That's a rule. It's not in the, I hate to tell you this, but Sunday morning at 10:50 or 11 is not a appointed hour by God. Sunday's not even an appointed hour. Some people think we ought to meet on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. And if you're not meeting on the Sabbath, you're sinning. There are all these rules that we add. Tattoos. Now, any of these rules, and please don't. I don't want to do it. If you want to fight me on any of these, I've been around. Okay, so I've got. You better be ready because there's nothing in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament about this. It's the Old Testament. You have to look at it. Don't add anything to Jesus. Oh, now. I went to a church, they thought you couldn't have a beard and be a pastor. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Miss Nail, So you just get, Julie goes, yeah, she told me you can't trust a pastor with a beard. I'm feeling better already. Dumb thing. Pastor, we have to sing out of... No, we don't have to sing out of the hymnal. You're not any closer to God because you sing out of the hymnal, and you're not any closer to God because you sing contemporary music. What God looks at is your heart, and He wants your heart to sing to Him. So don't add anything to it. There, when we were in Louisiana, they used to... Big deal in our church was a private school, Dynasty Private School. And they put all their kids in the private school. And they'd say, Pastor, they don't call me Pastor, but they say, are you going to put your son in the private school? I said, no, I'm putting him in the pagan school. By choice. We gave him a choice. He wanted the pagan school. Let me tell you what. God doesn't care if it's private school, public school, or homeschool. What He cares about is your heart. Don't add anything to Jesus. We divide ourselves over everything that should unite us. But the thing He's saying is, do not add. Don't get legalistic. One of my biggest regrets in my life was when I was in college and I'd rededicated my life and I was on fire for God. And I came in and all I did, the way I felt better and the way I felt spiritual, is I judged everybody around me. And my poor little brother who he was the recipient. I'd catch him with his rock music. Brian, God doesn't love that. I got off to Baylor University. My brother hated me. And God convicted me that I was so busy criticizing and judging my brother that I'd never told him that I loved him. And our relationship changed from that day on. I said, Brian, I love you. And I quit talking to him about what he needed to do. Changed our lives. Listen, when you go into a church, you can feel when they're judging you, don't you? Now, some of it may be self. When I look out there, I just see sinners. So I'm not judging. I see people who need Jesus. Okay? We're all even. Get over it. It's Jesus plus nothing. We want to be a church that has grace, not legalism. We want to be a church that loves people. We want to be a church that doesn't put more commandments on you to do, but sets you free. That's the kind of church we want to be. Do you realize in the Old Testament they had 613 commandments that they were constantly worried about breaking? And Jesus came and they asked Him how many He had. And He said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus comes and gets two. Love God with your whole being and love others as you love yourself. I like two better than 613. And here's what I want you to understand. I'm not saying go out and sin like the devil. That's always preacher's deals. Here's what I do know. I want you to obey Him because you love Him. Listen, when you go to church because you love Him, you go to church more. When you go to church because you're worried about marking it off your list, then you'll go to church less. I can almost guarantee you that. When you read your Bible because you love Him, you read it more. I remember I went to Bill Gothard and it was a conference, and I was on fire for God. I wanted to live for Him, and I made a commitment to read one chapter a day, and I took an oath, and I did all this stuff, and about a month down the road, I felt like I was going to hell because I'd already broken it. I couldn't get a chapter in sometimes. And what I didn't know at the time is God loved me even when I didn't get that chapter. You see, we have a God of love, a God of grace, a God that wants us to be different because he loves us. And legalistic people, let me tell you about legalistic people and legalistic churches, they're mean. They're mean because they're constantly judging you. And they're also empty and unhappy. And if you try to live your Christian life on a do's and don'ts, you'll never be happy as a believer. You just won't. Number two, don't get sidetracked, kind of like I did on that point. Verse 18, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Too many Christians are not seeking Jesus, they're seeking experiences. And he's referring to these false teachers, and here's kind of what they were doing. They were saying, oh me, I'm such a sinner that I can't even go into the presence of God, so I've got to talk to angels so that angels can take the message to the throne of God. Have you ever met that Christian, super Christian? Oh, poor me, I'm just having to read my Bible 20 hours a day. It's that false humility. Man, these people were seeking experiences. They were wanting people to get in. I'm not against angels, and Julie said, I threw under the bus about angels not too long ago. But listen, there are Christians who get caught up in worshiping angels. I read a story about the Lakeland Revival, and a guy named Todd Bentley, and Google it and look at it, and he was trying to convince Christians that there was a female angel flying around in the service, sprinkling gold dust on people. And what in the world? First of all, they're not male or female. God didn't know his Bible. But 30,000 people went to that revival in a month period or something like this. Crazy. Listen, the deeper life becomes when you drill deeper into Jesus Christ. The deeper life is all about Jesus. And don't let anyone disqualify you, not from your salvation, but from the prize, because they get you sidetracked about all this deeper life and emotional things. Listen, people join churches based on their music band. Why? Because, oh, I feel so close to God. Listen, I came from a church that had an incredible worship deal. But that music didn't make me necessarily worship. I had to drill into Jesus. There are too many people who are distracted from Jesus looking for an experience. I remember one person trying to tell me that I had to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. That's the dumbest thing. Don't get me on that, but I'm going to go there anyway. That it's the sign of the Holy Spirit. And if you know Greek and you know Scripture like you know it, it is a sign, but it's not the sign of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go back and count numbers, the number one sign that someone's filled with the Holy Spirit is they share their faith. Go read the book of Acts. Filled with the Spirit. And they shared and went to prison. Here's my point. There are people that are looking for an experience. An emotional, they want to, listen, here's what I'll tell you about God. Sometimes you cry, sometimes you don't. Some people cry a lot, some people don't cry as much. The point is, when you worship Him, you'll never go wrong. Don't be looking for the experience. Don't be seeking the experience. That's called mysticism. And then the third thing, don't follow human rules. That's called asceticism. He says in verse 20, he says, since you died with Christ to the elementary spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to the rules? Here are the rules. Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based merely on based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Here's what he's saying. There are these group of people called the ascetics who said, if you treat your body badly, if you punish your body, if you fast. Now, fasting for biblical reasons is okay, but fasting just to be fasting, to get a vision, which some non-Christian groups do, is not good. Have you ever seen the group that the way they pay, and probably coming up towards Easter, the way they pay for their sins is they beat themselves with chains because they're evil and sinful, and they try to beat the sin out of them? I don't know. It doesn't work. And you just pay attention around Easter. And Easter every year in the Philippines, they put people on a cross. There's guys that go on a cross and they don't die. They get as close to death as they can. And it somehow is, if I suffer in my body, I'm closer to God. There was a pillar saint named Simeon the Stylite, and he lived for over 30 years on a pillar in the rain, well, they didn't have snow in that part of the desert, but he lived on a pillar for God. Have you ever known someone's like that? I just isolate myself from everybody forever because I want to get close to God. Self-denial and punishing your body does not make you closer to God. Which leads to the last point. It's all about Jesus. The only way. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 answers the problem in verse 16. He says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. See, they were obeying these Old Testament laws, and they were just a shadow of the real thing. Now, if you notice, you can hold my hand by holding my shadow, but that's not the real thing. But you can follow the shadow and find me. And the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament teachings were pointing towards the coming of the Christ. Remember the Passover? They had the Passover celebration. Well, you get to the New Testament and you have, and it is stated in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ our Passover Lamb. Why celebrate the Passover when you have the Passover Lamb who is Jesus Christ? And so what he is saying is Jesus is the reality. If you want to grow closer to God, grow closer to Jesus. If you want to go in the deeper life, go deeper with Jesus. The reality, the substance, some translation says, is Jesus. If anybody tries to get you onto anything other than Jesus, don't follow them. Jesus is the reality, bottom line. Second thing, stay connected to Jesus. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, I love it. He talks about the group, the mystics, and how they were having visions and the angel worship. And he says this, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So here's the picture. The picture of the Christian life is us being connected to who? Jesus. Jesus is the head. We are the body. If you want to grow spiritually, stay connected to Jesus. But the problem is, if we're not careful, before long, we're not connected like we used to. That's why later on in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, it says, I have this against you. You left your first love. He didn't say they left church. They left their love. Who is your first love? Well, it should be Jesus Christ. So you have to stay connected to Him. And we somehow forget that. Look at John chapter 15 real quick. How do you do that? Well, in John chapter 15, he gives this beautiful picture. And I love it because it's a picture of the abundant life. In John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And then here it is. Look, here's the secret to the deep Christian life. It's not more Bible studies, even though Bible studies are good. Look what it is. Remain in me. Stay connected. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what is the key to the spiritual life? It's remaining in Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will do what? Bear much fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned. If you remain in me, here's the key, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do you do that? You remain in Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Don't go chasing after anything else. And then the third thing, you died with Jesus. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you died to the old way of living. You died to the old person. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Who's living your life right now? Who's living it? You or Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You see, Jesus, when you accepted him, you died with him. And you're resurrected with him, and you're to live for him. But the thing I want you to know is there is nothing you can do to save yourself. There is nothing you can do to grow spiritual. It's all him. It's grace. And you don't have to add anything to it. You say, well, I've failed him a lot. Yeah? But he still died for you and forgives you and gives you life. I mean, you can't out sin him. Jesus plus nothing is so important to remember. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that it's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us from our sin. I know so many Christians who live in constant guilt, wondering if they're going to get in because they have not always done what they should do, but they have trusted you. Lord, help them to know that you are all they need. But also, Lord, help them to know that a love relationship with you changes the way they live, not legalism, love. Father, I pray that our church would be a church of grace, not legalism. I pray that we will not judge people, but we will offer them the greatest thing in the world, which is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you so much for Jesus, and help us make a big deal about him. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.